Hello, and welcome to Forward Church Online. In this weekly podcast, we hope that you'll have an encounter with God through inspired teaching and discover practical ways to help you live a life of purpose. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
If you're not ashamed this morning, can somebody just shout out the name of Jesus just as loud as you can? Just somebody say Jesus. I'm talking about somebody who, if you're just not worried about man's opinion, the opinion of your family members, they already know that you come to a place called Forward Church. So if they're confused about what direction you're desiring to head in your life, it's cool that everybody else wants to go backwards and go back to their, you know, dogs are probably the only ones that go back to their vomit and it thinks it tastes good. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go back to my past. There wasn't nothing about that that tasted good, looked good, wasn't nothing about it good, but Jesus is good. So if you're in the house this morning, you say, you know what, I don't care about man's opinion. I want somebody to stand up in your feet and you tell me who the one you love and who you serve. His name is Jesus. No, I didn't say from your seat. I said from your feet. Jesus. Come on, somebody give Jesus Christ some praise in the house this morning. I'm talking about if he's Lord of your life, somebody shout out Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Above him there is no other. There's nobody like him. None can compare to the Most High. You can't get any higher than the Most High. I've often wanted to go to the roller coaster, like the largest roller coaster in the world, and get up on the very top. There's something about, you can be seated, there's something about going to a place that is higher, that you can't get any higher than that. That's the place that I want to live. Now, some people, they choose to use substances and needles and those type things to get that high like nobody else feels. But I just believe that when Christ Jesus does the job, he'll put you on a place like you've never felt before. Somebody say amen. I know what you're thinking. He done stopped by the gas station and got a monster this morning. No, you're really wrong this morning. It's called the presence of God. He just sets you on fire. Turn to your neighbor, tell him, say, you better watch out. You might get burned. See, some of y'all was cool and hip on that. You didn't get that. Just let it sizzle, man. If you touch me, you might get burned. That's how it should be. When we go to town, when we go to Walmart, when we go to Publix in Gainesville, wherever you find yourself, people, when they walk up next to you, they should feel the smoke. They should feel the heat. You know what I'm talking about? When people hit the court, there's something, they bring the heat. Well, when I walk in on the scene, I want people to know he brings the heat. And I'm not talking about that smoky, you know, smell like I've been to hell or that I might show up there one day. I'm talking about the heat as in the fire of God just flowing all over me. I don't know about anybody else in the house that wants that kind of passion and that kind of fire, but that's the way I want to roll. You stick with Jesus and he's going to set you on fire. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, listen, when you've got questions and you can't seem to find the answer, say Jesus. I'm saying when you just show up and you know you got a list of things that I've got to make some decisions and I've got to impress this boy or I've got to do this for my parents and I just don't know how I'm going to make all this happen. You just say, Jesus, I can't do it without you. So I need you, Lord Jesus. When your back's up against the wall and you don't know which way to turn, you say, Jesus. Am I a little loud for you this morning? Do I need to, like, maybe step in the other room next door, and then that way it won't be so crazy for you? If you're visiting for the first time, Dad will be back next Sunday, and it'll all be good. It'll be calm, but for whatever reason, I don't know why, there's electricity this morning, and I just can't seem to find the off switch. You know what I'm saying? So it's all going to be good, but it's all because of Jesus. I mean, when the doctor comes in and I'm trying to dial it down. You'll notice I'm going to try it because I know people are like, oh, Lord, Jesus. Well, maybe if he keeps up that pace, this will be like the fastest sermon we've ever heard in our life. So maybe it's a good thing if I talk real fast. But I'm talking about when you go to the doctor's office and he walks back in the room and he hands you a slip of paper and he calls that facts. That's when we back it back up and go, you might have facts, but I got truth, and his name is Jesus. That thing that you're saying is in my body, it may visit, but it can't take up residency in my life. So see, that just go ahead and push the squelch on. Yeah, that's right. That go ahead and just push the squelch on. Well, if you're saved, you shouldn't go through those things. You show me that in the Bible. You show me in the Word where once you get saved, you won't have no problems. If that's in your Bible, I need a copy of what you're reading. because that's not what I read, and that's not the way my life is interpreted. Once I fell in love with Jesus and I made a decision that, you know, it's going to be His way or no way, you know, that it's His way or the highway. It's His way or hell. I mean, you take your pick. You can, life is a highway. I almost did it. Almost did it. And for those of you that heard me speak, know that I can say a line in a message and it'll take me straight to the middle of a song. And Rascal Flatts be up in the church. I mean, I'm just saying, I don't know. And I know they're not the originators, but I like their version better. We were on the road traveling to Georgia yesterday, back there and back in 9 hours, and that came on. I was like, who is that on the radio? You know, it's just something about when you do that in church, because it's something about when people try to duplicate what God is doing, and but it's still got too much of them in it. You know what I'm saying? You really like, it's nothing like the real thing, baby. Ain't nothing like the real thing, baby. Come on, snap. Na 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 na. I'm not gonna stop till you snap. Binding down. Oh, ain't nothing. See, that's the only part of the line I know. So I thought that was going to be cool, but then my mind just went blank. So, but there ain't nothing like the real thing. There's nothing like the real thing, and His name is Jesus Christ. I know. I just believe in having fun in church. That's the way I live, because I serve a fun God. I mean, anybody that shows up to a funeral and says, this is no longer a funeral, this is a celebration, get up, that's a pretty cool dude. Somebody shows up to the party, they drink all the wine, all them hellions out there drink all the wine. He shows up and says, give me some water. That's a pretty cool dude. I'll leave that right there. Won't touch that. MC Hammer said it best. The Bible tells us that He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. And you can't even get to God unless you go through Jesus. So my message this morning is all about, you guessed it, Jesus. You know, every one of us in this room come from different backgrounds, different walks of life. Some of you are Levy County natives. Some of you were born and raised right here in Levy County. Nothing wrong with that. Some of us, we're not. We kind of got adopted in. But one thing that we all have in common, and that is a name. Every one of us has a name. This morning, I want to speak to you from the subject, get that name out your mouth. Get that name out your mouth. And you're like, well, that sounds like nothing like a traditional message sermon title. It really isn't. There's nothing about me traditional or conservative. But I'll tell you where that came from. Before we moved to Florida, it's been almost 2 years now. See, I got to let that go back behind the dam, because if y'all see that, y'all might walk away. But it's something about, man, when you obey God, He'll flip the script and flip your life upside down. So that just hit me. I'm sorry. Just to think 2 years, we've been in this deal. It ain't always been cheesecake and pie either, but it's something about hanging with Jesus. Something about hanging with Jesus. But before we moved here, Amy and I both were employed at a teleconferencing center called Intercall. And it was a strange place. It was really the breeding ground for any sin that you can imagine. I mean, it was a billion-dollar company. They're the number one conferencing provider in the world. But you got people from all kinds of walks of life in there. And I'm a people watcher. I like to, you know, Amy's like, let's go to the mall and go shopping. I'm like, no, but I'll sit in the mall and watch people. I just like to learn people. You can learn a lot just by watching them. You don't even have to come into contact with them, shake the hand. You just watch somebody and you know a lot about them. And so I remember one of the first weeks I was on the job and in the middle of the call center on the floor, and I was just kind of scoping people out, trying to find out who my homies might be and who I need to not hang out with. Unfortunately, I didn't choose that group well sometimes. But I remember this particular day, there was a manager, and I'm not going to say a name because she may listen to podcasts. But I remember her one day, and I was watching her and another. She was a manager, and there was a supervisor, and they were in a conversation. And I was just scanning the room, and I noticed that somebody else on the other side, just steps away, was kind of engaged into their conversation, but they weren't invited to the party. You ever been there? Like when you're in the middle of somebody else's conversation, it's an A and B conversation, you need to obviously see your way out. Well, she didn't use that line. She just stopped. I was speechless. The manager, who was very distinguished, had it all together. and was talking to the supervisor, and she caught out of the corner of her eye that person that was obviously had invited themselves to the party, the conversation. And she stopped what she's doing. She said, "Excuse me, but can you get out my mouth?" I just turned around in my chair. I was like, "That's somebody I don't ever want to cross. Can you get out my mouth?" Wow. And another thing I learned that they do up there is when you are, when you find yourself gossiping or talking about somebody and they just walk up to you and then when they want to confront you about, "I know you've been talking about me, what's the dealio?" They say stuff like, really cool stuff like, "I'm going to need you to get your name out my mouth." So when I was really thinking about this series that we're in, and this is really not even tied into where we were Wednesday night, and if you weren't here, I encourage you to go back and listen to the podcast on talking about accessing and walking in authority, and we're going to finish that up this Wednesday night. So go back and listen to it so you can show up this Wednesday and grab the whole deal. But these three sermons actually are connected together, even though this was a separate entity. Because I just believe that there, and I said it Wednesday night, that there is something that God created you specifically for that only you can do it like you can. I'm a carpenter. Everybody can build. No, not everybody can do it like you do it. Well, I'm a preacher, or I'm a Sunday school teacher. I work with young people, or I do this and I do whatever it is. There is something that you were created for that can't nobody do like you. And I'm of the belief system that until you learn how to operate in the authority of that gift and that thing that you were called to do, the world is suffering. Because if a toy maker created a toy to do something, but it's not ever given the opportunity, or it never just comes to life, Pinocchio does that what it was created to do, somebody wasted their time. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus didn't waste time when he made us. You were not the product of an intimate relationship between your mother and your father. You were not an accident. You were not here by accident. Some of you are going, "No, but this may be the last time I show up." That's cool, but you give me the next 15 minutes, and I promise you, if you'll listen to what I'm saying and allow me to put the name of Jesus in your mouth, and if you can get that name out of your mouth, your circumstances and your life will change forever. I'm just hoping that I'm preaching to a lively church this morning, one that's got a little feedback, one that goes, "You know what? I have been a little bit quiet, but you know what? I need to tap into the authority that God has given. I need to walk with authority." And there's a big difference between doing what you're called to do and just doing it and then showing up and doing it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's a difference between just showing up on the job but saying, I've been given the authority to do this, and I'm going to make sure, because my name's attached to it, I'm going to do it right. And that's how we need to be in life, man. Whatever it is that God's given you, entrusted you, gifted you, that doesn't necessarily mean the church, because we can't all be preachers. We all be sitting here, "Hey, let me have the mic." We can't all be singers. God has strategically placed us in places of business, operation, so that we have relationship, because ministry is relational. Say that with me. Say, ministry is, it's all about relationships. It's relational. It's relational. So you were here. You were here on purpose. Until we tap into the authority, I believe that the earth is suffering. Our city is suffering. Our nation is suffering. Until some people step up and take authority and walk in the authority that they've been given, I mean access it and walk in it, the nation is suffering. Until us as dads and moms, until we walk in the authority, our homes are suffering. You can be a mom, and just because you got together with your spouse and you made a baby, that don't mean you've got to work it out, line it out, and show and be an example for your kids. Until you do that, your family's suffering. Those of us that are in ministry, those of us that have a gift, and I'm going to mention, we didn't make the announcement, but there's tables out there. And until you say, "Man, I can be a greeter. I can welcome people." I mean, you talk to people all day long, but you come to church and you just want to sit. No, that's social club. We don't do that. We want to interact and have relationship with you. So on the way out, you say, "You know what? I have been here for a while and I'm not really a part of any, plugged into any ministry." Man, there's five tables out there that you can say, "Hey, I can be a hostess. I can hand out the cards. I can be a greeter at the door with a smile. I can help take up the offering." There just all kinds of facets of the ministry. God has given you those gifts. And until you tap into that authority, the church suffers. And this room, and I'm going to say it all the time until we move out of this room, this isn't Forward Church. This isn't all that it is. You're Forward Church. We're just occupying residency temporarily in this room until we get the 20 plus acres and a campus with buildings and people coming to see Jesus. So it's time to tap in. It's time to tap in. So the first thing I want to establish is names are important. If you're taking notes, write that. Names are important. Names matter. Names carry legacy. Names carry weight. Names carry authority. But there is one name that can change everything. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. And oh, how I love Jesus. Sing it with me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. It's all wrapped up into this line right here. Because he first loves me. There is a name that carries weight more than the rest. If you brought your Bibles with you this morning, turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. We'll be in Mark in a minute, but Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 5. If you can just get that name out of your mouth, get that name in the middle of your marriage, and if you're not even married yet, you'll mess up a marriage if you don't already have that name dropped. Jesus' name dropped in the middle of your dating relationship. You won't even make it. You might make it out of the church, but I promise you, you will quickly find out that it ain't all cracked up like you thought it was. We all a bunch of fruits, flakes, and nuts. I just believe that. Granola Christians and granola. We crazy sometimes. We crazy. So you got to put Jesus right in the middle of your situation, right in the middle of your marriage, right in the middle of your business. Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 5, says this: your attitude should be the same as that of Christ. That means Christ is our example. If you want to be more Christ-like, pick up this book and read about Jesus, and it will change your life. Do you believe it? Say amen. Amen. Verse 6. Who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. He's not asking us as believers to go and crucify ourselves on the cross, but he has required of us to crucify our flesh. And that's the part that keeps us out of church. That's the part that keeps us out of the word. That's the part that just keeps us out of a relationship. It's our flesh. I just don't feel like it. I don't want to. And we're great justifiers. I mean, I'm looking probably at a room full of attorneys. I know I would probably be a good attorney if it came down to it where I needed to justify why I didn't want to do something that God told me to do. And I know I'm not the only one in the room, so I'm going to keep on moving right there before the daggers start flying. Even death on the cross. Verse 9, therefore God exalted him to the highest place. If you want to go high in God, you got to get low. If you want to be great in his kingdom, you got to find the lowest place. And that's hard on our flesh. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. It's the name, he gave him the name, not just a name. He gave Jesus the name, not just what it gave him, the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee, not some knees, not knees that come to church or knees that don't come to church. It's all knees. Whether you believe in Jesus or not, one day you will bow before Jesus. Even people that are fighting and struggling and to just do away with, they too will also bow at the name of the very one that they fought against trying to let people hear about. They too will bow at the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter if you're a president, if you're a king, if you're a queen in a castle. It don't matter what title you've had. There is no name, there is no title like the Most High, and his name is Jesus. And one day, those people that feel like they're at the height of their political career or family dynasty or whatever, they too will bow, just like every one of us, at the name of Jesus. I prefer just to do it on my own, at my own will. I don't like people pushing me to do something that I don't want to do. I know that's my flesh. I just expose myself. I don't like to do stuff that I don't want to do. And if I feel people pushing me, I normally push back or I just step out of the way and let you fall because I don't want no part of that. So therefore, when the Bible says if I don't worship, if I don't praise, if I'm not expressive and passionate about him, he will cause things that don't even have life, such as rocks. He'll cause them to cry out. I don't know about you, but that'd be the craziest freak show and horror show I've ever seen, to be walking out just because I just held it in church. I get home and my stones outside my house start shaking. And I don't even live in California. Ain't no earthquake. That would trip me out. I want to do it on my time, but I give him all time. I give him everything. And when you take that initiative, when you take that thought process and go, God, I give you everything, all that I am, there is no fight. There is no war. Because that sounded real rough. There's no war. When you've surrendered to God, there's no war. When you've given your life to the name of Jesus Christ. Are you still with me this morning? Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus lived for 33 years, 33 and a half plus years. At age 30, he walked with 12 men who God put in his path to form and start what we're sitting in today. There's power in the name of Jesus. Something about the name of Jesus. So he walked with 12 men. You would think that the King of Kings would actually have a larger group that he was. Let me tell you something. You can't just run with everybody. Young people, you can't run. If you really want God's hand of favor on your life and you want to go to that school and you want to do those things, you want to be successful on and off the field and all those type things or off the court or whatever you do, man, you got to surrender to him, but you can't run with just everybody. You can if you want to, but it's a long road back and it's not paved as straight. It's a lot of unevenness, uneven asphalt. So it's better for us to go, you know what? God, who's my theys? They look out for you. They celebrate you. They're not jealous of you. That's your theys. That's the people you need to be hanging out with. So God, just say, God, who's my theys? Who has my best interest at heart? That circle may get real small, but you're a lot better off and a lot safer. The name of Jesus can change your life. He's the one that lived a spotless life so that you and I could live free today. When we were singing that song about we're free, I get expressive in worship because I think about how I was bound up. And how there was things that I was a part of, and I was miserable. There'll be pleasure in sin for a season, but once you've had an encounter with Christ and you are connected with him, but you just kind of slip out a little bit. Once you find yourself in those relationships, there should be an uneasiness. I don't know if you've ever been there, but I've had uneasy. I've had those the opposite of tingle. I've had those tremors, like, oh my God, but this feels good. I got to do that. No, get out, run. Call on Jesus. Just say that, well, I don't know the exit. Let me tell you how to exit. If you in a party and they all smoking dope and snorting coke and drinking whatever, you want to clear the room and find your exit, just shout out Jesus. They're either going to go, wow, he's tripping on some good stuff, let me take a hit of that, or they're going to exit the building because they're afraid that you just brought somebody in here. Hello. So if you're finding yourself in a relationship or places that I don't know how to get out of it, you just say Jesus and let him do the rest. See, we try to figure out on our own. If we didn't need him, we wouldn't need the church and we could just go do what we wanted to. But I need him. I need him to help show up. I need him to get me out of some sticky situations. Hello, somebody. It's his name. We don't say his name enough. Jesus. You need to wake up and go, thank you, Jesus, for letting me wake up today. Father, I give you my life today, Jesus. Whatever it is I'm going to find myself doing, Jesus. I told you we're focusing on Jesus because Jesus is the name that's going to give you the authority. I said it Wednesday night. Whatever you speak in his name, because you came from him and the breath of God is living inside of you, when you speak, if it's in the authority of God's word, basically, he can't argue that. He's going to back up what you say. So speak his name. If I don't say anything else, you need to speak his name. We exist because of what Jesus did. Without Jesus, we're just wasting time. Without Jesus, we're just a group of hopeless people. That was me. Even though I was raised in a pastor's home, until I went out and did stupid stuff, but until I got to the place that said, that's not worth it to me to be miserable. It wasn't even about hell. It was just, I'm miserable because I knew there was something I was created to do. So let me say it this way. Until you tap into the authority, not only is the earth, the nation, your family, you're miserable. And you're screwed up, just like I was. Sometimes I tap out. I'm like, okay, God, I give. Uncle. Sometimes I find myself in those moments where, God, I resubmit to you. My flesh keeps popping back up. Let's just be honest. It's funny, but it's true. You can sit there and look like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Twitter, this pastor is a fool. Facebook. You can sit there and look like if you want to, but I know. Flesh pops up in the most unexpected times. And if you don't even know how to deal with it, just say, Jesus. You see that being Walmart and something just break off on you, say Jesus, and somebody starts moving back to cereal, the Cheerios going, hey, you okay over there? I'm just checking on you. But I'm serious, man. It doesn't matter. What does it matter? If that's the name that can get you out of your circumstance, you say that name as loud as you can, as many times as it takes. Drop his name in the middle of his circumstance. Drop it like it's hot. Don't drop that. No, I'm just saying, you drop his name right in the middle of your circumstance. And when it's crazy, you drop it. Jesus. And stop trying to work it out and make it look all good. Jesus. He already paid the price. I mean, when Amy comes shopping, she goes to the grocery store and she whips that card, even though both of our accounts are connected. She whips the card. I don't walk back in the store and go, hey, can I pay for that stuff? We together. No, it was already paid for. So stop trying to work things out that God already paid for. You just re-invite him back to a life that you pushed him out of and say, Jesus, come quickly. Jesus be a fence. His name carries weight. And it's his name that begins the work. It's his name. When you say his name, the work already starts. His name just fits. All of our songs would be totally, our songs in worship would be so messed up if we tried to fit somebody else's name. What a friend we have in Leon. No sweeter name than the name of Jerry. No, Jerry, who's Jerry? It's something about the name Jesus. When people come up for prayer, I don't say, oh God, in Bradley's name. Because Bradley can't do nothing for you. But in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Whatever's inside, whatever you got going on, when I say Jesus, it has to bow down to what I just spoke. There is authority, and until you learn to walk in that authority, you're a powerless Christian. So, if you can't say anything else but Jesus, you're a lot further in the game than most pastors who just up here spitting game. I don't ever want to be, sure, I try to lighten the mood and try to make sure there's a connection, but if you just say Jesus, you're a lot further than most people that went to school just to simply learn the name Jesus. Just to get a little piece of paper with a document. That's cool. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. So let me clarify before he leaves town and I'm left here by myself. I love you, boo. We together in this thing, right? That's cool. But there are a lot of people that wasted a lot of money in the colleges that will take your money. But all you needed to know was Jesus. Let him show up in your life. That's the only studying you need to do. Study Jesus. Something else. I remember back years ago when Ansley was just a baby and we loaded up our Dodge Caravan minivan. I drove a minivan, and I would travel, and I would sing at churches and stuff, and they would always ask me, you know, we want you to come sing, but will you speak? I'm like, sure, I'll speak. Was there an extra charge for that? I'm like, not extra charge. I'd like for there to be an extra charge. Do we do that? No, we don't do that. I said, no, because when I come, everything that I am comes with me. There is no separate. So when you invite Jesus to your situation, everything that he is comes with him. And the Bible says, he says, I am. That's two words. There's no other parallels and diagrams and split offs. And it is what it is. I am. So whatever you need, he said, I am. I am that. So you got to say his name. Come on, church. Somebody say his name. Gee, whatever you need, whenever you say that name, everything that he is shows up on the scene. It's like that story we were studying just a few weeks ago about the paralyzed guy, and they brought him to the house and brought him down. He was there to get healed because he was paralyzed and couldn't move. But God worked something else out in his soul. So see, when you invite Jesus, you're thinking he's going to show up for one thing, but he saw a whole different thing he needed to take care of first. You're going to get all of what he has for you if you'll hang out with him long enough. You can't just go, well, I don't like what the preacher said, and I don't like because so-and-so didn't, Sister Susie, Sally, Mama Grace, whoever didn't say hello to me, walk right by, and now I'm offended. You got to stick around with Jesus for a while. You stick around with Jesus, you'll never go wrong. It's not always popular, and it definitely rubs against the grain of our flesh. But with Jesus, all things are possible. According to his word, all things are possible. Do you believe it this morning? Some people struggle saying his name because they are ashamed of have a hard time saying his name because of the shame that is attached to their name. Some people have a hard time saying Jesus because they don't feel worthy of all that he is. See, a lot of people, we're in church, we understand his grace, his love. We understand all that comes with him. But then when we believe the lie of the enemy, well, I've made mistakes or things have happened to me. Man, that's the devil. When you say Jesus, everything that he is comes. And comes his love and his mercy, and he washes over all of everything that's ever happened to us. Man, things happen to us when we're young. Things happen to us when we're kids. And let me just speak into this for a minute, because the Christians get so beat up by the enemy trying to make them feel the disconnected and unworthy. I mean, I can't tell you the countless times of conversations that I've had with people down through the years in church that go, I don't understand why he would love me. I can't grasp that. Well, the enemy wants you to spend your time trying to worry and figure out why. Because then you can't truly accept, receive, and walk in that love because you're too busy trying to find out why. And let me just say this. We go through things in life, and I said it Wednesday night. Everything that happens in our life is motivated. I can't remember how I said it. Through perfect love, okay? Through perfect love, it's either God ordained or God allowed. But there are times in our life where we get exposed to things in our life that we have no control over. You hear me? There's things that happen to us in our life that we have no control over. I was once married, and I got divorced. It happened to me. I had no control over it. Things happen. But I can't focus on that. I got to focus on what Jesus called me to do. Okay? So don't get caught up in the lie of the enemy of, well, he doesn't love you enough. You must have did something wrong because those things happen. It doesn't go down like that. I can almost feel the emotions of God. He's in heaven going, let that go. In the name of Jesus, the hurt, let it go. The questions, let it go. Because he has so much more in store. And see, the enemy knows what he has in store, but the enemy wants to keep you from it. And if he can keep us locked down in our minds, we'll never walk in the authority. So for the last time, for those in this room, let this be the last time. I'm releasing those thoughts. I don't know who you are. I'm releasing those thoughts. And I know it's more than just probably a handful because I'm releasing some in my mind. Man, I went for years with questions why. God, I release it. And God, I let it go. It's not my business to understand. But it's my responsibility to move out and to move forward and to keep you at the center of my life in all things from this day forward. And I release it in the name of Jesus. Sometimes we get exposed to things at young ages because of our parents. Man, it's not your fault. Sometimes we were exposed to things at a younger age, and then we find ourselves now exposing ourselves to other things because it was familiar from something that went before us. I don't think anybody in here would want to break the heart of God, but let me tell you something. If we continue to mull through our failures and our things, it's like putting him right back on the cross. Once he already paid for it, there's no need to go back and try to reapply the blood. It's done. Man, I feel the presence of God in this house. Because my life is meant to be spent for loosening the shackles off of people and people that are broken. That is my responsibility. People who are tied up, twisted up, can't find how to get out. My job is to go, it's just this simple. Say Jesus. In closing, turn with me real quick to Mark chapter 10. Are you still with me this morning? It's almost lunchtime. Yes, it is. But I believe some people are getting set free in the house today. I don't believe in tiptoeing over stuff that the enemy's trying to lock people down. I don't believe in that. I just can't do it. I refuse. And that's who people I want to hang out with, people who refuse to see something on me and let me wander in my suffering. I want people to go, man, you got something on you. Get up on your feet. Come walk with me. I need people with me to go, you got something, you just come hang out with me today. We're gonna hang out. We're gonna go get a burger. We're gonna go to BurgerFi in Gainesville. We may go watch a movie. Because see, there's something about when you build relationships. And Brian may not want to go to movies. Okay, let's go to the basketball court. Let's shoot hoops. You're going to show me up. I know you would. I know you is. You're going to take me to the hoop. I know. You're going to bring it. And that's okay, because it's about sometimes sacrifice. If I got to look like the fool so Brian can feel better, I'm just going to do that. You know what I'm saying? You like to fish? I don't either. So we good. So after we get through, we're going to get a milkshake. See, there's just something about when you, thanks, Brian. There's something about when you connect with people and you have a relationship with them, you begin to know them and you know things about them. And you go, you know what, there's something I need to help them. I'm clearing my schedule today. Whatever it was that I needed to do that I felt like I just wanted to do, we're going to sit down and we're going to have lunch today. All this stuff, call the church office, make an appointment so you can sit behind in front of Dr. So-and-so's desk and talk about whatever. Man, get outside the church, because that's where people, they're not coming in, so we got to go out there and let them know what's up with Jesus. The name of Jesus carries weight. You can put a little background in there, bring the Holy Ghost on a little thicker in here, because there's something about when you mix Jesus and the music, it opens up the heart. Are you there yet? Mark chapter 10. I've actually preached from this passage before, and I saw it from a different angle. The first time I saw it was where blind Bartimaeus threw off his cloak, which represented that he was a man of uncleanness and he had problems, he had issues. And when he threw off the cloak, which represented who he was, which was his name, which really meant the man of uncleanness, man of brokenness, he took on Jesus' name. When you take on Jesus' name, it changes your life. I want to look at something different this morning. It says this in verse 46. Then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples together with a large crowd were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. Have you ever found yourself in life? I'm not saying you were sitting on the side of an interstate with a sign, but you found yourself in a position where you recognized if you didn't get Jesus, it was going to be too late. So here he was on the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout. What'd he shout? No. I think mine has an exclamation, so I don't think it was just Jesus. Hey, I'm over here in the dirt. Can you hook a brother up? He said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. So when you find yourselves in situations and you just need God's mercy in that, you feel like you're going to break, you're up against the wall, you don't know which way to turn. Jesus, Son of David. So you may be like blind Bartimaeus. You can't see him because you feel so. Jesus, have mercy on me. And in that moment, I don't know if they were religious people or not, but I know if the shoe fits, you got to wear it. It says, many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. You'll always have people that are going to try to tell you to be quiet. Just hush. We didn't pay you to be the preacher. We just paid you to sing. So when you get up there, don't say nothing. You just lead the team and lead the church, and then you go sit down. See, people will tell you to hush when what you're carrying convicts them. It says he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And in that moment, Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up." This is the same ones that were saying, "Shh, be quiet. People, they're going to know what they're going to know. This is Jesus. You can't be here. This is Jesus. You got to have it all together. They're going to know if you shh, they're going to know you don't have it together." Shh. That's the same ones that when Jesus then said, "Hey, I need to see him." They're like, "Hey, come on, man. That's awesome. Come on, cheer up. Jesus wants to see you." I don't need fellas like that. I need fellas that are going to ride or die. I don't need ones that go, "Well, this is making me feel uncomfortable, so I'm going to need you to be quiet." Because you may, what you may have, they may think that I've got issues too. They may think that what's on you may jump off on me. You know, guilty by association. So, shh. "Oh, but you want him." Oh, come on, man. It's all right. What was that movie, Bernie's, Weekend at Bernie's, when the dude was dead and they all tried to walk beside him to make him look alive? It's probably like that. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Well, then go home and rent it on Netflix. Bernie, Weekend at Bernie's. I don't really remember if it had a lot of good stuff on it, but so I didn't say that. But there's this movie that had this dead guy, and they had to make him look like he was alive the whole time. And so one got on this side and one got on this side, and they attached all their limbs so that when he moved and all that stuff, he looked like. Can you imagine? That's probably what it was like with those religious people. They're like, "Oh, well, because we still don't want him to know that something's wrong with you. Just come walk with us. Just open your eyes and act like you can see." How many people in the church do that? They're blind spiritually, but they got their eyes open so they can fake everybody out, bumping into walls, just taking stuff out. And we're sitting there, "What's wrong with so-and-so?" Well, instead of going to find out what's really wrong, we're talking about them. Going down the street to the next church, talking about them. This should not be. So they said, "On your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped at his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do with you?" Jesus asked. I thought that was so funny, because it's not like he had a sore foot and he was hobbling to Jesus. Jesus would have obviously seen there's something wrong. He needs me to heal his foot. But when he got there, it's kind of hard for me to think that a blind man would have jumped on his feet and made his way over on his own if he was still blind. And then Jesus said, "What do you want me to do?" You think Jesus, God, didn't know that he was blind? That's because he wasn't blind anymore. Well, how do you know that? Check it out. The blind man said, excuse me, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." And he said, "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Because just a couple verses up, what released the healing of what he needed was when he said the name Jesus. And everything that he needed came with him. So what are you saying? I'm saying this. Whatever you need in any moment after you leave here today, it could be in an hour from now, you may need something that can't nobody give you but Jesus. Comfort, Jesus. Stop looking for people. God put us together to help, love, and comfort. But if we're not around, and that's okay sometimes. See, the enemy tries to deceive people that, well, they don't really love you because they're not calling, they're not checking on you. Life happens. We're busy. Things happen. I'm not talking about us as a staff. I'm saying for all of us, life happens. We get busy. But the enemy causes you to think, well, nobody loves you. Nobody cares. No, there is somebody who does, and his name is Jesus, Son of David. God, have mercy. God, have mercy on me. Everybody's standing all over the room this morning. If you're here this morning, or at 12:05, and we're done in 5. At 12:05, if you're standing here and you're saying, you know what? There's some areas in my life that I have let the enemy beat and bash the mess out of me. And I've not walked in the authority that God's given me on my life. Man, God's called you. He created you on purpose for a purpose. You're not here by accident. So the responsibility is ours and is yours to tap into the authority and walk in authority for what God created you to do. But if you're saying, you know what, I have not done that, and as of today, I've released some things, I've let it go, and now I'm going to walk in authority. I may need somebody to walk with me. I may need to go to the basketball court and just hang out for a while. I may need to go get a smoothie. I may need to go watch. I may need to go hang out for a little bit just because I'm tired of walking alone. You weren't called to walk alone. If you're here this morning, say, you know what? I've released some things and I've let it go. But I want to publicly say, I'm not putting the mic in your hand. You're just going to acknowledge before the Father. I want to publicly say, God, I haven't walked in that authority, but I want to learn how, and I'm going to do it with everything that I've got and with your strength. If that's you, I want you to throw your hand up just as fast as you can and leave it up. Say, I've let some things go. It's not going to have a hold on me no more. And from this day forward, I'm going to walk in authority. Father, right now in this room, God, I lift up every person with their hand extended. Father, signifying, I'm releasing it to you. I'm not going to pick it up again. The devil may try to put it back in my view, but Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, I'm covered in your grace. Jesus, your blood covers. Jesus, you love me. Father, I lift up every one of them. God, I ask that they would be soldiers under your command today. God, I ask in the name of Jesus that they would walk with their shoulders high, their head up high, their shoulders straight, their back straight. God, they won't walk with a spiritual limp. They won't walk with an imperfection because of their past. But God, they can walk perfect in you because of your love, your grace, and your mercy. God, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would help them, empower them to walk in the authority. Father, to locate that thing that you've created them for, their purpose, God, and may give them the ability to access and walk in authority in that thing. In the name of Jesus. And with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here this morning, you say, you know what? I want to do all that stuff. And maybe you already raised your hand and said, I want to do that stuff. But the most important thing that's going to empower you to see that through is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. To say, you know what? I need to invite Jesus into my heart. Ask him to clean out all the stuff that doesn't represent him. The stuff that would cause him to be ashamed. And the blood's covered it. So I just want to deal with it and say, you know what? God, I'm sorry and I repent. If you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, with nobody looking around, every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to put your hand up. All I want to do is say a prayer for you. I want to lead you in a prayer all over this room. If there's anybody that says, you know what? I see that hand. If there's anybody that says, you know what? I want to know that I know that I know that if I pull out of this parking lot and a logging truck hits me and I was to die and go into eternity, I want to wake up in heaven. I want to know that I know. If that's you, throw your hand up. Hands all over the room. And today, after we say this prayer, you will be born again. You will be saved. You have missed hell and made heaven. If you don't know, let me tell you something. Eternity is too long to be wrong. Well, I just don't know about it. Let me tell you something. I would rather know than to find out, wake up in eternity and go, man, I wish I would have. If you're 99% sure that you're saved, you're 100% lost. You got to know that you know that you know. Let's pray this prayer together. Everybody in the room, saved, those that are coming into the family. Man, we're talking about coming into the family. You're not just saying a prayer. We're talking about we're going to now spend eternity together. We're homies, we're theys, we're hanging out together. Come on, are you ready? Oh God, I come before you today confessing my sin, my shortcomings, my flesh. And God, today, in this moment, I give it all to you. You paid for it. Why am I keeping it? In this moment, I ask for you to remove from me the seeds of sin in my life. Remove from me the seeds of deception that it's okay. God, from this day forward, may I never fall for the enticement of the enemy. come into my heart, be my Lord, set up residency, live in me, be my Lord, be my Savior, and Father, be my deliverer. Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart. Lord Jesus, look at me. If you prayed that prayer for the very first time, let me tell you something. Welcome home.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Forward Church Online. We hope this has been a blessing in your life and that you'll share this and other great resources with your friends. We want to invite you to explore our webpage at www.myforwardchurch.org. There, you'll find online giving, church events, and so much more. Be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter, as there's always something happening around Forward Church. If you're ever in our area, we'd like to extend an invitation to come be a part of one of our live worship experiences. Thanks again for listening to the Forward Church Online Podcast. Have a great week.